Welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is the 18th of January, 2026, and we welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here. I hope you enjoyed that message by Pastor Peters entitled, Beware of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And that message was originally preached back in 1988, same year that Pastor Peters wrote the book, Beware of Martin Luther King Jr., His Dream, Our Nightmare, which is a book that if you order it this week, we're going to send it to you free of charge. We firmly believe that you freely give, you freely receive. And I pulled that book out this week and read it, and just it's a short, small read, but a fantastic book. And if you write to us this week and request it, we'd like to send it to you. We've got a bunch of them, and we'd like to get that out. A lot of truth that has been coming out on the subject. But before we get started, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you, Father, for these messages being preserved, and Father, for you to continue to use them in a mighty and powerful way to bring forth truth and to shed light on deeds that have been done in darkness. Lord, we ask that as we gather together here in person and those that gather with us, that we may be pleasing in your sight, that we can put away the cares of the world and seek you and your kingdom and your ways. Lord, we ask that you smile down upon us as we do this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. We're going to start off with a song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a peace there is, what a blessedness. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Keep near him and perfect, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have we to dread? What have we to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, walking close to him, everything is clear. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
That's a good song that we haven't sung in a while. And I just, as we see so many things that are happening,
I hope it's built on nothing less.
Time that we need to be leaning on those everlasting arms. And glad Justice picked up that song this morning. Next, we're going to have Onward Christian Soldiers.
Soldiers marching into war with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ our royal master leads against the foes forward into battle.
mighty army gathering for God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod, closing ranks with kinsmen, all one body we. March forward, coward foes shall flee, tumbling into pitfalls dug for you and me. See their rulers tremble at our shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices.
Amen. And here's a picture of the book that we have. Justice will bring it up on the screen. Martin Luther King Jr., His Dream, Our Nightmare. And a lot of the quotes that Pastor Peters had in that message today are in here. And it's been interesting to me because a lot of this stuff is stuff that was basically kind of taboo to talk about. And it wasn't talked about until just recently. I know it was about 2 years ago I heard Charlie Kirk come out, and it was on Martin Luther King Day, and he came out and basically talked about what a horrible person, what communist he was, what a sexual deviant he was, and a lot of the stuff that Pastor Peters put out, you know, in 1988, it was stuff that was coming out. Steven Crowder came out and talked about what a horrible person he was and dug into some of the files and put a lot of stuff out. And another good book, next slide, is one that we offer, and it was written by Des Griffin, and its title is Martin Luther King, The Man Behind the Myth. And I started reading this one again. It's been years and years since I read this book, but really good information on the subject. And the reason that I wanted to address it today is just because there's so many people that are just completely indoctrinated by Martin Luther King. And we talked a little bit about it on the radio yesterday. And, you know, just even as a homeschooled child, when we went to a graduation, and it crept into the churches and into the homeschooling group, and people just had this complete idea that, you know, this man was a savior. And, you know, there's some quotes that he put out that are sound really good, but he was a communist, and he did a lot of damage. He destroyed a lot of black families, and there's a lot of thing. It was, you know, liberating the black people was one of the biggest, you know, destruction that the black communities had. There used to be black communities that had mothers and fathers in them with children at home, and they had black churches that they went to, and a lot of that was destroyed because of this movement. And that's discussed in these books, and encourage people to to look into it. It's exciting because there is things that are taught in these books that I am seeing actually put out on alternative media, but they're getting out there. It was stuff that was never talked about before, so that's really encouraging. And I've never played the message by Pastor Peters here from the LaForte Church of Christ. That thing was, like he said at the beginning of it was something that was archived and probably never be on the radio, and he didn't know if he'd ever be on the radio again. And here we are nearly 40 years later, and Peter's still preaching, putting out the truth. So praise the Lord for that. We're going to have a short video. This was the Truth for the Times debut program. And we'll have that coming up right about now.
It's time for Truth for the Times with Pastor Peter J. Peters. Truth for the Times will give you new insight, knowledge, and understanding of the times. This program may not be politically correct, but it is biblically correct. You've heard the lies and deceptions of the day. Now it's time for the truth. However, we must warn you, due to the nature of truth and man, this program could be offensive, shocking, and even frightening. But remember, the truth sets free and changeth not. And this Truth for the Times broadcast could very well change your life. So take time for this Truth for the Times broadcast with Pastor Peter J. Peters.
I'm Pastor Pete Peters, and I'm going to be your host for these Truth for the Times television broadcasts. I want to take this time to tell you of all the things you're going to miss out on, or maybe I should put it this way, of all the truths that you're going to learn and discover by tuning in to these Truth for the Times television broadcasts. Now, the truth is that we're living in a time when Americans seem to sense that something is wrong. They find themselves working more these days and enjoying it less, don't they? Perhaps you're one of those people. And what I mean by enjoying it less is that we're enjoying the fruits of our labor less and less, because the truth of the matter is there's less and less money on that paycheck that you take home at the end of the week or the end of the month. Why? What's wrong in America? We're going to be addressing that truth, the hardcore truth that has not been given out to you. Oh yes, you've heard stories such as the problem in America, the money system, or the churches, or the politicians, and the corruption, or the deficit. But have you heard this truth? The truth of the matter is America has been conquered. We're going to address that truth, and we address it in our book called America the Conquered, which we will be offering in coming broadcasts, a book authored by myself that shows that America has been conquered, all in keeping with Bible prophecy. You see, Isaiah spoke of a time, a people, a nation, if you will, that would be conquered unaware. And you'll find out in our book, America the Conquered, that it is entirely possible. Sun Tzu, the man, the ancient Chinese writer that wrote about the art of war, talks about how peoples can be conquered without them knowing that they've been conquered. We discuss all that in this book. The book is fully documented and illustrated, and we'll be giving truths from this book. For example, here's a cartoon that comes from the book that illustrates the illusion of freedom in America. One place they say you will be free to go as long as your papers are in order. And another one in the Soviet Union, have another dialogue. But if you analyze all these dialogues, even the one in America, you'll find there's not much difference. Now, the truth is, you've been told, of course, that communism is dead, haven't you? But there's one thing you haven't been told, this truth. Not all communists are dead. Truth is, there are a lot of communists alive and well, and unfortunately, many of them walk the halls of Congress today, and even the halls in the White House. We're going to discuss on Truth for the Times some of the communist-styled atrocities that have taken place right in your country. You've watched some of them right on your television set, and they've been financed by the dollars that you sent in to your little god called Baal. For example, you're going to find out the truth concerning the Waco Holocaust, where 17 little children were burned alive. You're going to witness a video such as you see here, put out by Linda Thompson, showing the truth of what took place in Waco, Texas, that most people never heard of. You think that Koresh and those people shot one of the BATF officers? Well, you stay with us and we'll show you right on your television set the BATF officer shooting himself, believe it or not. And believe it or not, that's not the only communist-style atrocity that has taken place in America of late. You're going to learn about the truth about the Weaver family in Idaho. Remember the story? It took place back in August of 1992 when a little 14-year-old boy was shot by a government agent, and the next day his mother was shot in the head by a United States sniper bullet, an employee of the United States government, as she held her little baby in her arms. We're talking about the Weaver family, little Sammy Weaver that was shot and Vicki Weaver, his mother. In fact, you're going to see illustrated things like that. For example, we have an illustration here where in the first illustration it says, in the 1930s, when the KGB and the Red Guard rounded up and killed Christian dissidents, it was called a communist purge and terror. In 1992, federal marshals and other government agents, in the process of rounding up alleged white supremacists, Randy Weaver killed his wife and son. This is called justice, USSA style, comrades. And you're going to find out that this thing called white supremacy has been blown completely out of proportion. We're even going to address such issues as that. We'll address issues also about white people being on the North American continent prior to Columbus. Can you believe that? Well, we've got a whole host, a whole range of things we're going to talk to in these Truth for the Times television broadcasts. But I'll guarantee you, this is going to be a fascinating talk when we discuss this book, Christians Before Columbus, by Pastor Earl Jones. Pastor Earl Jones authored this book, and he is a man that years ago took me to a rock on the side of a mountain outside of a town in New Mexico, and here's the rock. You know what's on that rock? The Ten Commandments, written in ancient Hebrew, way before the coming of Columbus to America. In fact, we've got so much information on that, you're going to be absolutely amazed and fascinated with it. For example, here's an interview that we do with Pastor Earl Jones concerning that subject.
We can find coins. There have been coins, many coins found. There was a pastor before around 1787 who was going down a road in Massachusetts, and which is now State Road 16, the Cambridge Malden Road, and he uncovered there was a group of men working along the road there, and they had uncovered a rock, just a flat rock there in the road, and they lifted the rock up, and lo and behold, underneath the rock were coins of some strange inscription on them. And there was about 2 quarts of these coins. Now, here again,
this is my study where the interview with Pastor Earl Jones was conducted. We're going to be conducting many fascinating interviews on subjects withheld from you by the controlled media right here in this study. For example, one that comes to my mind is the interview we're going to be showing you with Colonel Jack Moore, a well-known war hero who actually stood before a communist firing squad and heard them say, "Fire," and the bullets rang out of those rifles, and he's here today to tell you the story. It's a fascinating story. You'll enjoy the interview as well as many other interviews. Since we're in the study, I want to show you this portrait that I have hanging above the fireplace and discuss it a little bit, because it's a very significant portrait, because it has to do with the history of America and Bible history, Bible prophecy. It's a portrait by Frederick Remington. He was actually an old cowboy that lived in the West in the 1800s, and he was a man with artistic ability, and he captured the various scenes that he had witnessed in the 1800s. This is just one of them. A scene where the people from Europe are coming across the Great American Desert. The Great American Desert, which they caused to bloom. Now, I know you've heard the politically correct position about evil white man comes to America. Evil white man takes land, destroy environment, greed, fraud, deception. Well, how would you like to hear the truth? True history and have it related to the Bible. We're going to do that all with this portrait. And if you ever thought to yourself, what did those people that were coming across in the wagon trains that Frederick Remington captured so well in the artist's canvas, what did they think of themselves? There was a man by the name of Alexis de Tocqueville who came to America about 150 years ago. He came to America because he wanted to find out what it was in America that made America so great. And the history books tell us he went through the halls of Congress, and he walked the grain fields, and he went into the scientific laboratories, and it wasn't until he went into the churches that he actually discovered the secret of America. Now, this is one of the things that he discovered concerning America. It was in a Newsweek magazine in 1983, and this is what it said in that Newsweek magazine, quote, "It was an era when Americans believed that their country was God's new Israel and that they were chosen people." Well, we'll discuss more about that. I'll just let that kind of sink in a little bit. And by the way, if you found that truth offensive, there's a reason for it. It's called cognitive dissonance. It's a phenomenon that happens to brainwashed people when they're first exposed to a truth that doesn't line up with what they've been told. We'll discuss more about cognitive dissonance when we discuss mind control in a coming Truth for the Times broadcast. Another thing we're going to discuss on Truth for the Times is this issue right here. Firearms, gun control. What does the Bible have to say about gun control? We've got a book and a cassette tape album called Everything You Wanted to Know, and Preachers Were Afraid to Tell You About Gun Control. And we'll discuss that in the coming Truth for the Times broadcast. Just wanted to make sure it was loaded. There's no sense having one of these things unless it's loaded. Now, I want to tell you also that there is a God called Baal that doesn't want you to have one of those. But the God of the Christian Bible, the God of the Christian Bible wants you to have one of those. I'll just stop a second and let you think about that. You've never heard of such a thing, have you? Well, chances are you never will, unless you tune in to our Truth for the Times broadcast. The truth of the matter is, the God of the Christian Bible would have you to own a firearm. In fact, you're going to find out in the coming broadcast that it's a commandment of Christ for you to own a weapon. Now you say, I've never heard of such a thing. My preacher doesn't tell me that. Well, maybe there's a reason that you have not heard that in the modern churches of our land today. And that brings me to this subject called None Ever Call It Conspiracy. It's a little booklet that we wrote dealing with the conspiracy between prophet, priest, and king, and the connection between state, tax-exempt churches, and the state. Now, in our booklet, we have a cartoon, and we discuss in this booklet, None Ever Call It Conspiracy, the conspiracy that Ezekiel spoke of prophet, priest, and king. And we show in a cartoon fashion, along with illustration, a symbiotic relationship, one that most people have never seen. Now, this is a symbiotic relationship in nature. For example, here is the water buffalo in Africa with the tick bird living on the back of the water buffalo. That tick bird has easy pickings and feeding off of that water buffalo's back because, you see, As the water buffalo goes through the grasses and grazes, the various insects and ticks begin to accumulate and land on its back. Very irritating for the water buffalo, until along comes the tick bird, and he sets up residence on the back of the water buffalo, and it's kind of a you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back type of symbiotic relationship. The tick bird has easy pickings, and the water buffalo can graze much more comfortably. Do you know that there is actually a symbiotic relationship that exists in our society today that most people are not aware of at all? We illustrate that in our book, None Ever Call It Conspiracy, showing the symbiotic relationship between the governments of our world out of control and the state-approved churches. This is called Babylon's symbiotic relationship, and on the back of this devouring creature called government out of control, and underneath you'll see for the grasses where the people being oppressed, having a hard time making it. On the back of that water buffalo are these little creatures with their backward collars telling the people, obey Caesar! Obey Caesar! Submit to the authorities! Romans 13. Maybe you've heard of Romans 13 in the churches. Well, you probably have never heard of Romans 13 in the manner or the way that we're going to be talking about it. We're going to be talking about so many things and truth for the times, telling you the truth. And I shouldn't say the way we're going to be talking about it. I should be telling you the way the Bible is going to be talking about it. And we're going to be talking about things you wouldn't even think applied to Bible scripture. For example, how about vaccinations? Now, in the Bible, we are told a story in Acts chapter 2 about a government program instituted by an evil king named King Herod to have all the children in Jerusalem stuck with a sword that were 2 years of age and younger. Oh, but what has that got to do with today? Well, believe it or not, there's a wicked king and queen up there in Washington, D.C. that want to stick your children with needles that have vaccines in them that you have no idea are in the vaccines. Now, we're going to be discussing vaccinations and our book called Vaccinations, Warning, Vaccinations Are Dangerous. A book that I authored that will tell you some truths about vaccinations that you've never heard before. By the way, that's going to be a broadcast that I like to tell you is government approved, because we're going to be talking about a Senate bill, I think it's Senate Bill 732, that pushes for an immunization of all children in America, preferably before age 2. Isn't that interesting? Why age 2? Well, we'll tell you when you get this book and when you hear that broadcast. But in that particular bill, it says that parents should be advised of the risks of vaccinations. Are you aware of the risks of vaccinations? Do you realize that the government in their own proposed legislation has said that the immunization compensation program is an essential part of the bill? Now, what is that? That's an insurance program to protect the drug companies and the government from all the lawsuits that will be filed by parents who have had their children damaged. What kind of damage? Well, when you get this particular book, you'll find out. And we're not just going to ask you to take our word for it. You're going to hear the word from an authority, from a research journalist by the name of Neil Miller. He wrote a book called Vaccinations, Are They Safe and Effective? This book by Neil Miller, Vaccinations, Are They Safe and Effective? Is a book that we believe Americans all over should be reading. Here's an interview portion that we had right here in the study with Neil Miller. Listen to what he says about vaccinations.
100 years, people have been speaking out against vaccines. Scientific studies published in very prestigious journals are showing that many of these vaccines can be dangerous. Many are downright unsafe. Many are ineffective. And I decided I needed to put it into a book. I needed to write this. I need to let people know that you do have a choice. You do have a decision as to whether or not to vaccinate your children. You need to find out the facts. before you make that decision?
As I said, we're going to have a lot of fascinating interviews, and that's one interview held in this study that you do not want to miss. If you've got little children, or if you've got grandchildren, or if you have nieces and nephews, or if you've got the love of mankind in your heart, you need to tune in and listen to a truth that needs to be told at this time, a time when politicians want to stick a needle in your baby's butt. And as I've said before, it's one thing to let politicians kiss your baby's butt, but you better think twice before you let them inject that baby with the vaccines that they've got planned. That's not interesting enough truth for you. How about this one? Dealing with homosexuality. Now, this is a truth most people are not aware of before I get to that subject of homosexuality, and that is this. The Bible in regards to the law of the land. Some time back, I was asked to lecture at a university. It was a sociology class, and they wanted to have what they considered a radical and an extremist lecture to this class. I found out later that they were dealing with social deviance, so that's how I got into the class. It doesn't make me a dime's worth of difference. I'll tell the truth when the good Lord gives an open door. And when I was there in that classroom, I said to the students, I said, how many here would be in favor of having a law passed in America that says the Bible's the Word of God and the people are to study it and apply its teachings? And I dare say not one hand was raised, even though some of those students claim to be one of these goody-two-shoe little Christian boys and girls. We got plenty of them out there. We'll talk about those people in these Truth for the Times broadcasts. But nobody raised their hand, and then I said, well, too late. Like it or not, the law's already been passed. It's called Public Law 97-280. You ever heard of it? Well, when you listen to our broadcast regarding the subject of homosexuals, you're going to hear about Public Law 97-280. It's a law that's been passed by both houses of Congress that says, one, the Bible's the Word of God, and two, that the citizens of this land should study and apply the teachings of the Bible. Now, what does that have to do with the subject of homosexuality? We're going to be discussing our little booklet called Death Penalty for Homosexuals is Prescribed in the Bible. Death penalty for homosexuals is prescribed in the Bible. Well, maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you don't like that. Maybe you find that offensive. I'm sorry. You know, sometimes truth is a little offensive, isn't it? But the truth is, the Bible advocates the death penalty for the crime, and that's right, I said crime, of homosexuality. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just telling you what it says, okay? Before a bunch of you jump up from your couches and dial 911 and say there's some kind of evil person on television, you better just sit back and think a second. If the Bible has been declared to be the law of the land and the Word of God, and that Christians and people in the land should follow the teachings of the Bible, and the Bible says that death penalty for homosexuals is what society should incorporate. Now, I'm not talking about vigilante action. I'm talking about the courts, the legal system of the land. Believe it or not, such laws did exist one time in this land. But anyway, we're going to be discussing that subject. And if it's in the Bible, and it's not a politically correct position today, maybe some of you like to call yourselves gays. You know the truth of the matter is, you're nothing more than a bunch of sad sinners. Sad would be a more appropriate term. The truth of the matter is, you're sexual deviants, perverts. And what I'm telling you is, maybe you better start getting laws passed to take the Bible out of the motel rooms where the Gideons distribute them. We discuss all that, by the way, in our book, Death Penalty for Homosexuals. And we talk about a fascinating interview. We bring Dr. Paul Cameron right here to this study, head of the Family Research Institute in Washington, D.C., and we have him tell the people truths about homosexuals you've never heard before. You've heard about the politically correct position, that they're poor, persecuted little people, and that they're misunderstood and they're born this way, so forth and so on. Well, wait until you hear the interview with Dr. Paul Cameron, a scientist who studied that. Here's a portion of that interview that we had with him. He's concerned about homosexuals living amongst them. Well, I think for a lot of reasons. First,
people who get into homosexuality are people that don't have anything to bring them away from being very self-centered. Homosexuality is a very genital, sexual, sensual-centered kind of a lifestyle. Very big on excitement, very light on responsibility. And because it involves pretty nasty activity, that is, it's pretty obvious that a male and female belong together. If a male and a male or a female and a female are together, it's clear that kind of strange acts are going to take place. And many different kinds of secretions and excretions are going to be ingested and part of the sex act.
Yeah, well, you're being kind when you say nasty. Let me say something.
Okay.
I think filthy faggots is a better terminology, but of course that's my style. Go ahead. I just want to interject.
Yeah.
Now, if that isn't going to be an interestingly enough interview for you here in our study, we've got an interview coming up with Red Beckman from Montana, probably one of the most renowned Christian patriots in America. Red Beckman is the man that teaches churches in the land what Romans 13 really means. Remember I was talking about the symbiotic relationship and all these state-approved churches that get their tax-exempt status telling the people to obey the authorities? Well, what about in 1776 when King George's government became so oppressive and so oppressive against Christians that they had to do something? They had Romans 13. We have a book called Authority, Resistance, or Obedience that we're going to discuss in a future broadcast on Truth for the Times. But here's our interview with Red Beckman, and he has a few words to say on the subject.
Nation that I believe to be the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I'm proud to be a member of this community, this nation. I'm proud to be an American. And I watched this nation as it just continued to deteriorate right before my eyes. And I kept saying, why doesn't somebody do something? And finally, I discovered that I was someone and I had to do something. And one of the areas that needed to be the problem, that needed to be addressed, was what was happening in our churches, in our religious community. What about render unto Caesar that which is Caesar? Was that a sermon on taxation?
Or perhaps one of the most fascinating interviews that we're going to have, maybe not the most, but maybe to you, if you've never heard this truth, has to do with an interview with Ray Kapp, the author of the book called The Missing Links Discovered. This book, written by Ray Kapp, is a book that talks about the migrations of the Caucasian people over the Caucasus mountain range in Europe, into the regions of Europe, and then later on into America. In the book, you'll see that he has it very well documented. In fact, I'm going to show you now a clay tablet that's in the book. This clay tablet, a cuneiform tablet, what does it mean, what does it say, and what does it have to do with America? You're going to be fascinated, as will you be fascinated with Ray Kapp as he talks about the missing years of Christ in the British Isles. Here's Ray Kapp, a most fascinating man, famed archaeologist.
Century wrote those words. Were Blake's words based on truth? Did those feet in ancient times walk upon England's mountains green? To find the answer to those questions, I went to Blake's England to research the many legends and traditions that Jesus spent some of his silent years between the ages of 12 and 30 in Britain. For two momentous months, I walked the English countryside in rain, sunshine, and then more rain to visit the sites of the traditions. I spent hours in libraries, museums, and churches reading half-forgotten records and interviewing the old folks of Cornwall and Somerset counties. All that was but the beginning.
Traditions of Glastonbury. Now that's an interesting truth that needs to be told at this time. And I hope that you will take time for Truth for the Times, the television program where I will be hosting truths that you need to hear. Be with us every week for Truth for the Times. I'm looking forward to seeing you. And thank you very much for this time with you.
I have returned to the God of my childhood, to the same simple faith as a child I once knew. Like the prodigal son, I long for my loved ones, for the comfort of home, and the God I outgrew. I have returned to the God of my childhood, Bethlehem, Spain, the prophet's Messiah. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. Praise his name. I have returned to the God of my mother with unfailing faith for the child of her heart. Said, bring them up the way that you want them. Thank God when they're grown, they'll never depart. I have returned to the God of my mother. I learned at her knee, he's lily of the valley. Jesus to me, eternal deity, praise his name. I have returned to the God of my father, the most godlike man a child could know. I just heard a shout from the angels in glory, praising the Lord, a child has come home. I have returned to the God of my Father, creator of heaven and earth, God of the universe. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity, praise his name. I have returned to the Jesus of Judah. On my knee I did fall, where the wall now stands. This lesson I learned as I worked my way homeward. The Savior of all is a comfort to man. I have returned to the Father of Abraham, the Shepherd of Moses, who called him the Great I Am. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity, praise his name. I have returned to the Father of Abraham, the Shepherd of Moses. Moses, who called him the great I am. He's Jesus to me, eternal deity. He's Jesus to me, I have returned. He's Jesus to me, I have returned.
And I hope you enjoyed that Truth for the Times. It talked about a lot of different things and a lot of resources. And I had a call this week, and somebody asked if the book was back in print, America the Conquered, and yes, it is. It was a book that was out of print for a long time, and it was basically we had to order so many of them to get it printed at a decent price, and I know we advertised it for $8 to $10 in some of these videos, and we can't even buy it for that nowadays. It is, we do have it priced basically as cheap as we can get it, and that's $20, but it is back in print. I think this is the fourth printing of that book. We also do have the book that was talked about, Death Penalty for Homosexuality as Prescribed in the Bible, and just this last week, we got Missing Links Discovered back in. They had reprinted that book, and we were waiting on that one. We sold out of them. We advertised that a couple weeks ago, and sold out of that, but it is back in stock. And also, we have recently reprinted Christians Before Columbus by Earl Jones, and that is back in stock, too. So we do have those resources available, just wanted to make sure and let you folks know about that. As we prepare our hearts and our minds for communion, I've been spending a lot of time in Psalms, and I wanted to read Psalms 46 this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the hearts of the sea, through its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms trotted. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. As we see so many of these things that are taking place, I know that basically there's a lot of division that's taken place, especially up there in Minnesota. And yesterday morning, got a call from Jim in Minnesota, and he was telling me that Jacob Lang was on his way to Minneapolis and was going to burn a Koran and bring a bunch of pigs in there. And we talked about that in the morning, and it was, you know, it basically it's become clear. And, you know, I was shocked. And at first, when I first heard about Jacob Lang and what he was doing, I thought he was doing a good job and doing a good job at exposing these Muslims. And the more that I looked into it, and thanks to some of you out there, got some emails and some information, and information was shared with me, and I was able to share it with Zach. And it became very obvious that he was just an agent provocateur. And yesterday when he was in Minneapolis, he was doing nothing but trying to pour gasoline on the fire that's already been burning. And, you know, we've been praying for those fires to be kindled out. We don't want Minneapolis to be burned to the ground. And that's exactly what the enemy is trying to do. They want a George Floyd 2.0 to take place. And this agent provocateur, Jew, by the way, goes in there and burns the Quran and brings the pigs in there and basically just trying to cause all kinds of problems. He was attacked, and the report said, I haven't got any updates as of this morning, but as of last night, what I had heard is that he was attacked by a knife. Somebody wielded a knife, and it hit his plate carrier, and he was okay, and they said that that saved his life. And it just sounds like a setup to me, and it sounds like they're just continuing to try to dump gasoline on the fire that's burning it and cause that dissension. And they do intend to, the enemy really wants to get those riots started up there. So I want to just ask that people continue to lift that up in prayer. And, you know, I don't believe that it's a righteous fight. I don't think that it's something that, you know, we need to be involved in. But, you know, if it was a righteous fight, then, you know, full steam ahead, it needs to happen. And just don't see it. I see that there's we've got a lot of enemies, and they're stirring up a lot of garbage. And just keep it in prayers. And there's so many things that are happening. It's obvious that the enemy's working overtime. But praise God, I'm encouraged because I see so much truth that is getting out. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for you that keep us supporting us and helping us keep getting these messages out there. Still broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the internet. And, you know, that's been a blessing. It's no easy task, but keep getting these messages out. I think it's more important than ever. And we do cover your prayers here. Ask for you to pray for this ministry. Ask that you pray for this church. And just pray that the Lord continues to lead, guide, and direct. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne to partake of communion today, Lord, we just ask, Father, that you purify our hearts and our minds and our bodies, Father, that you strengthen us, that you just continue to guide us and direct us. Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful for the truth and the truth getting out, and we're thankful, Father, for you and your kingdom. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. We recognize that it's not about us, but it's about you and the work that you're doing through your people and for your people. And Lord, we're grateful for that. And we just ask that you just continue to lead us, guide us, and direct us. And Lord, as we partake of your body today, as we're commanded to, and drink of your blood, we ask, Father, that you just continue to strengthen us and grant us good health, and that you continue to open our eyes to more truth. And Father, let us see the deception that is around us. And we ask, Father, that you continue to expose the enemy and the plots of the enemy and what they're doing, and let us see it clearly. And Lord, we ask, Father, for more of that Holy Spirit, that we can prepare our hearts and our minds and our lives, Father, for the things that are to come. We just ask these things in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may partake. And if you didn't join us for the hour before this, we're going to be right back with a message on MLK right after this song. Safely wrap your arms around.
dark despair. I'd raise my eyes and you were there. I just want to thank you, Lord, for all your work in me. For all that you've given me throughout my life. For all that you've done for me. I just want to thank you. You dried my tears, and when I feared the other shoe would drop,